Welcome to Black Women's World Podcast.
Welcome to Peace Place for Me, a virtual connection where the contagious love of Jesus Christ abides and thrives. Thank you for joining us as we enter our time of sharing with Pastor and Chaplain Tracy Mack in this virtual, interfaith, inclusive, and purpose-filled community. Let's listen in.
So good morning. This is Peace Place for Me. I am Pastor and Chaplain and Spiritual Director Tracy Mack, and Peace Place for Me is a virtual space for interfaith, inclusive, purpose-filled community. We provide a kingdom connection to expand your spiritual growth. And it's simply a place we gather for not only to remind us of who God is, but to remind us who we are. I'll be sharing to remain anonymity. I'm just going to share for a few minutes. And at the end, those who may be listening, you won't get the privilege of the discussion we'll have because we keep that within the community. But just want to share, thank God for this sunrise Sunday. We know that on the calendar, it is the day that in the Christian faith, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate he got up. That's a popular song we sing. And we still sing because he did, because the work of the cross is like that of none other. So, we've been talking about, and last week we talked about unspeakable joy, and we talked about the choosing of joy. We get to choose in the midst of what's going on in the world. We can still choose to have joy, what that looks like. And I don't want to go all back into it because that's what we did last week, but we talked about in spite of and the difference between happiness and joy being pure delight. And this week, I really begin to think about, I've had some, I'm looking at somebody on here who healing is evident. I'm looking at my own continual improvement, even in my breath, my hands, and different conversations I've had that kept reminding me to choose joy, no matter what they say, no matter what it feels like. And the questions that we started out the beginning of this year talking about, who are you? Who am I now? Because that continues to evolve. What do I see now? Whose eyes am I using? What are you using to see? And as you grow, what do you need to give, receive? What do you require? And today, I really want to talk about the song that we just played called Rewritten. And it's on Donald Lawrence's album. I think it's the Goshen album. And that's led one of the leaders on there is Lejeune Thompson. And I had the privilege of meeting Lejeune back in the day when I was in a recording group. Nothing like this was after Donald Lawrence Bible Stories CD had come out. And I had a group called Fresh Oil that was from Ambassadors for Christ, a church where my dad, bishop and pastor, and founded. And we recorded our CD at Reflection Studio in Charlotte. And while we were in there recording our CD, and we had met Cornell and B.B. Winans and all of that, so we hyped, y'all. We were in there and still starstruck because many people came back through Reflections back in that day. A lot of gospel artists recorded there. And in while we were recording our session, in walks Lejeune Thompson and some of the ladies from Donald Lawrence's album back then. And so we were geeked. So I still hold on to those things. So whenever I hear her voice or people that I've met in person, I just feel like, you know, even if they don't know me, I know them. So when I heard the lyrics to this song, her voice, of course, if you heard the song and just what that rewritten story means. And I thought about this week, I was sitting down, and I'm not a type of person to have my phone all the time, never been. So I may be in one room and the phone may be in another and whatever. And I had come back to sit down at my phone and there was a text there from a young lady. And she's the one of the questions said, can I be transparent? And you don't know what they sometimes people say. Can I be transparent? You have no idea where they're going to go from there. So can I be transparent with you? And she said, I'm scared about what's next. I am so afraid about what's next. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have the answers. I've gotten this far. And she began to explain what she was fearful about. And sometimes and we get caught up in life and people start throwing cliches. Oh, there's perfect love, cast out all fear. Girl, don't need to be scared. Or you begin to interject yourself. I've gone through that, and you see, I've turned out this, that, and the third. And sometimes you just need to sit and listen. Because one thing, as the person talked about what they were afraid of, yeah, I've been there, done that. As my dad would say, got the t-shirt. Been there, done that, but allow them to express their own feelings. And what they are feeling is a transformation, going from one stage of life into another. And as we know, that can be scary, whatever you're facing, going from one stage of life to another. But one thing I noticed about transparency, about transformation, is anytime she was transparent enough to say, I feel vulnerable. I'm not sure about what's happening next. And you really got to have a good relationship with somebody to choose to be transparent. But on the other side of transparency is transformation, because there's something changing. I wrote in my book, The Book of Purpose, the New Testament, way back in 2013, but I use notes from probably the 90s. That book wasn't something I sat down and wrote one time. That was pieces of my life from writing at the beach, or sitting after a time of prayer, or after a time of, hell going on in my life. So that book pieced together different parts. And one thing I remember writing, probably at the very beginning of the book, is about transition. And it was a sentence that I heard Kelly Varner say years ago about how volatile and how vulnerable you are during a transition. And transition is like a death certificate in one hand and a birth certificate in another. And the ground and the footing is so unsure. And when you have those times of just being so unsure, you don't know what's getting ready to happen in life. If we look at and anything in the news now, it's crazy as hell out there. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you from a perspective, not to spark doom and gloom, but sometimes the prophetic has to alert to what's happening in the world. It's ugly out there. And I'm going to tell you, anything they are doing that can fix it, they've made it illegal. I was talking to Owen yesterday. You can't even, now they're talking about the government's going to shift into a Cash App like option. And the CEO of Cash App was just murdered last week. And it's like, it's coincidental. That person is going on here. You got political things on going on in our former president. You've got things going on in the state of Tennessee. You've got things going on with abortion rights. One of our current Supreme Court justices is being looked at for taking some money or some trips that he may should not have taken. And all these things are out there. Everybody's hurting. Something's going on physically, mentally, emotionally. And if you look at those questions, we said, whose lenses are you look whose lenses are you using? Now, last week we talked about joy, being able to have joy in the midst, being in and not of, seeing but not seeing, hearing but not hearing. So I see all these things going on in the world, and I still choose joy. I hear all these things going on in the world. But when you look at it, what's scary to them is they can't even solve their own problems, because just about every avenue that you would use to solve the problem, doing it on your own is illegal. If somebody needs money, it is literally illegal to give somebody over $100 without them having to claim it on their taxes. So giving becomes illegal. You remember during the election season where it became illegal to give people water while they were trying to vote? It becomes illegal to, if a woman chooses to have an abortion, it is illegal to even take her across state lines in some states. If you're looking at just feeding somebody, if you wanted to open up your home right now and feed people, you would get slapped by the state, depending on which state you live in, because you don't have a commercial kitchen. Or even if you have a cottage license, you still can't serve or sell anything out of your home without approval. So even ways to give and solve, they tend to make it illegal. And so when I thought about the whole thing about joy, and I begin to think about being transformed, and if we go to Romans 12, verse 1 through 8, And keeping anonymity, I'm going to ask somebody to unmute and read it out of whatever version you have, the person that we normally call on, if you would go ahead and read Romans 12, 1 through 8.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye be present, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, pause. Are you at the? You haven't started verse 3?
Not yet.
Okay. 1 through 2, if that's that version, and listen to it out of this version, the Message version, the same 3 verses. He says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take every day, your ordinary life, sleeping, eating, working, going to sleep, walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in to it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. We're talking about that transformed, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly to respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. If you can read verses 3 through 6 instead of going all the way through 8, let's go through 3 through 6.
Okay. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Every joint supplying, giving and receiving, that's what community is about. But even within communities, if we look at, there's always a transforming. I was sharing with Owen, asking Owen yesterday, just, you know, having conversation about how do groups go from being well-visioned, the vision's clear, into something that turns into toxic behavior. And a lot of times, even with groups, I remember when I was getting my degree, there are levels of group dynamics, the storming, forming, norming, transforming that happens within groups. And so we look at transformation. And when the writer of the song talks about a rewritten story, that means when something changes. So when we see the scripture talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that word in is metamorphosis, metamorpho. And of course, we always think about the butterfly. And I thought about some other examples of transformation. And of course, this morning being sunrise service, Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. I know the Muslim community is in Ramadan during this time, and different religions have different things that happen usually around the spring. We know that the Gregorian calendar or the calendars we use are not necessarily lined up chronologically with a lot of our historical writings and teachings, but they tend to work. And so when we think about one example today, transformation of Jesus, what did he do? He was born and he lived. That was the man. He became the savior when he bled and died on the cross for our sins. And then the king, when he rose and now seated, ruling and reigning, and at rest. And that at rest is important to me, because after you've done the transforming, rest, sit down and rest. And Dr. Kirby Clement said something last year when I listened to something he did, and he talked about his quote, and I like to quote people. One thing that kind of bothers me when people will go and tell what you say and don't say who said it. Well, here's what happens. You will be held accountable to that person's level of revelation. you may have to go through some of the things they went through. You going around saying what they said and not having a root, or at least the common decency to cite the work. That's what happens when you go through college and high school. You will be caught and given an F for plagiarizing. And a lot of times people will go and quote what people said and never lived the full revelation of what that thing means. And so I suggest, at least with me, until it comes to a point where I can say it my own way, I can read it and summarize it my own way without stealing that person's intellectual property, I like to give them credit. So Dr. Kirby Clement said, "What today we celebrate, an empty cradle, a vacant cross, an abandoned tomb, but an occupied chair." And that to me speaks of the transformations of the life of Christ, and then that he lives in us continually, the perpetual life to ongoing. And then I thought about us as human beings, the stages of life, we transform from one arena to another. We go from infancy to adolescence, puberty, adulthood. We even have our pauses, would be perimenopause, menopause. Men even go through andropause. That's not talked about a lot. There's some of the similarities. Let me see if I can pull up something I'd seen last week. Because I'm menopause stage, and if people think, you know, you hot flashes or whatever, but no, I think Oprah's even doing this whole thing about menopause and the taboo. It's not been talked about. I remember my mom telling me when she asked my grandmother about menopause, and my grandmother said, "I ain't had time. I had a couple of hot flashes. I had too many children to raise to think about it." And that's the other taboos and some of the things that women go through. It's forgetfulness. They call that brain fog. Of course, the hot flashes, nausea, heart palpitations. I've gone to the doctor several times behind heart palpitations, and they give you a Holter monitor to put on, and nobody ever said anything about menopause. Vaginal dryness, aches and pains. Men going through andropause, because their testosterone decreases, they have decreased motivation sometimes, lack of focus, low energy, muscle loss, mild to moderate erectile dysfunction. And then the similarities between the menopause and the andropause is mood swings, moments of depression, headaches, weight gain, bone loss. That's another transformation of life that we go through, and sometimes we don't want to talk about it, but it's still true. But where I want to really get, and I thought about that, Bishop Key and Paul Gaskins, when Paul Gaskins said, "I don't know where to begin." And this is during a Sunday morning service. He was preaching and he said, "I got so much to say, I don't know where to begin." And Bishop Key yelled out, "Start at the end." And I thought about it. This is what... thinking about rewritten story, nothing in nature speaks about a rewritten story more than a caterpillar. A lot of times we think on and we zone in on the butterfly. People will say my spirit animal or my spirit thing is a butterfly because of the metamorphosis, the transformation, the flight, the beauty, the freedom. But nobody really talks about the caterpillar, just like when we talk about pearls, nobody talks about the oyster. And so I think the caterpillar gets a bad rap. And if I could spend the majority of the rest of my time talking just simply about the caterpillar, and I will pull out some spiritual principles, and I want you to write them down as we go. But a caterpillar is from the larva. A butterfly lays about 500 eggs on leaves, and particular leaves. And whatever particular leaf the butterfly lays the egg on, that is the only leaf the caterpillar can eat from. It lays up to about 500 eggs. And those eggs, those larvae, sit on those leaves for about 4 days the larva turns into a little baby caterpillar. And that thing is in there for 4 days, of course, without any food or anything. And when it breaks out of the shell, it eats the shell. It devours the shell. It not only eats the shell to get out of the shell, but once it's out of the shell, it consumes the shell. It needs the nutrients from the shell so it can slide its, crawl its own way to find food for where it needs to go. So it wakes up hangry. And the caterpillar, it takes about a 2-week process to go from the hatch larva into before it gets into the chrysalis stage, which is where I want to put most of my time. The caterpillar is such a negative connotation. You don't see people walking around with caterpillars on their shirts, or you don't see caterpillar figurines. You always see the butterfly. But it's a 2-week process. And its only job as a caterpillar is to eat, eat, eat. Some caterpillars have camouflage, they're camouflaged to keep predators away. Some of them even have a toxic coating outside of its body. But it's designed to eat, eat, eat. But many caterpillars die from eating because some of the leaves where the caterpillars are feeding upon have a sticky substance, like a milkweed leaf has a sticky substance. And if that caterpillar eats too fast, the sticky substance from the milkweed leaf gums up its mouth. And a lot of caterpillars don't survive being caterpillars because they've gummed their mouths up and they can't eat anymore because its sole purpose is just to eat. And it will eat the very leaf that it was born on. It will consume everything and sometimes the leaf beside it. But when they don't, of course, the ones that don't survive, and it'll eat enough to grow several times its original body size. And people don't realize, they think that chrysalis state is the first state, but it grows several times. And you know, it sheds once. It has to shed once. So that's one spiritual principle. As you grow, let it go. As you grow, let it go. If you're in caterpillar stage, you are eating, eating, eating. You are consuming. There are things in your life. Remember, where are you now? Are you in a consuming stage? Are you just being born and you're eating the shell? If you're consuming and eat, 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 you're eating for a reason because you have to eat everything in sight because something's coming and you won't be able to eat. When we talk about the gathering by the grasshopper and the elephant, grasshopper and the ant, something else in nature that we take cues from. And once it's, as it's eating, once it's done eating and it knows it's at full growth capacity, it can't grow no more. It finds a quiet spot beneath a leaf. And that to me speaks about get quiet, because as we transform what's going on in the world, what we see happening to them, and I say because we come out from among them, we're going through some of the things they're going through, but we got a different mindset. We have different lenses. How do we see things? What do we need now? Who am I now? And this thing, as it begins, it gets quiet. It stops eating. It gets quiet and it attaches itself underneath. It knows something is happening. For some reason, I didn't stop eating. And I just feel this led. I feel led to go over here and get quiet. The world ain't gonna want you to be quiet. They're not gonna understand your quiet. They're gonna get mad at your quiet. They're going to treat you different because of your quiet. But if you don't stop eating and stop consuming at a certain point, you'll never go and attach yourself to that leaf and get quiet. So we got, as you grow, you must let go. The other part is be quiet. There are two times in the scripture where the word study comes up in the New Testament. And one of them is study to show thyself approved. And then the other one is study to be quiet. It takes a lot of effort to be diligent, to just hush. It don't mean be weak. It don't mean be lazy, because sometimes it takes strength to hold your tongue. The next thing it does is once it finds the leaf that it wants to attach itself to, it spins a button. Some spin a button and some spin like a little hammock to attach itself. And it attaches itself by the butt. And that to me spoke, after you get quiet, go somewhere and sit down. Attach your butt to something and go somewhere and sit down. Everybody around you may be running. Everybody around you may say, what you doing sitting down? The world is on fire and you over there sitting down. Let them run. Sit down. get somewhere and sit down. I've mentioned the book, Rest is Resistance. It is resistance against patriarchy, white supremacy, capitalism, because rest is not laziness. Because when you're resting, you're working on yourself. There's work going on the inside that can't be done on the outside. So when you attach your butt to that leaf, get somewhere and sit down. Now, some people will think that the chrysalis happens after the layer of skin is shed. Mm-mm. The caterpillar starts squirming. Once it attaches itself to the body, it starts squirming because it's building the chrysalis underneath the skin. So somebody, you may be squirming. People don't know I don't know what's going on in my life and something ain't right. And I have been saying ever since 2016, something ain't right. Something ain't right. And I think I was consuming, especially in business, going out there, getting money, traveling, going from state to state, doing what I need to do, something ain't right. Get somewhere and sit down. But I let people say, you can't sit down. You can't sit down. So I would come back out. Then the pandemic happened and we were all forced to sit down. And I thought that was it. And sit down, be quiet, attach yourself to a leaf. But no, they said, no, they need, or they don't like when, get somewhere and sit your whole hind part down, attach yourself to a leaf and go ahead and squirm, because you're building your protective layer underneath the skin and can't nobody see it but you. All they see is you squirming, but on the inside, you're building what's going to protect your transformation. And I know I'm talking good. If it ain't good for nobody, but it's good for me. I ain't got a hoop, I ain't got a holler, but I got a shout on the inside. And when I get off of here, I'm going to turn on some Hammond organ music and get me one. But so it's growing its protective shell. So it wiggles itself out of that. The chrysalis is already formed. And because the chrysalis is built during the squirm, that's the thing I want to make. Then it dries. It begins to dry. And everything around it is probably thinking it went and it's dead. It begins to dry. And you know why it dries? Because it has this uncanny knack for the dryness, because it knew what type of leaf to attach itself to, that the chrysalis begins to blend into the same color of everything around it. If people knew what was going on the inside, they could destroy you. But when you begin to be in the world, camouflage, because you're not of it. I'm in here. I'm in this chrysalis, hanging on a leaf, hanging on by my own thread. But whatever is going on around me ain't bothering me, because the work that's going on inside me casts a shadow to everything else. But if you're not willing to go inside to do the work, and even when you're inside doing the work, do you know, inside that chrysalis, when they cut it open, and I've researched it, you can go and read it. You can look at stuff on YouTube, and everything confirms, one study confirms another. That caterpillar turns into complete goop. Somebody referred to it as a curry. It turns into complete goop, where just about everything completely turns to liquid. And that to me looks like when life looks like death, even to yourself, because can't nobody see what's going on the inside but you. When life looks like death, the only thing that survives an identifiable cell is the caterpillar's nervous system. And because all of that eating it did prior was to preserve, it eats itself. It has to use what it stored up to feed itself, because what you need ain't out there. The caterpillar, this is a bad time to try to break out. It can't. It is completely turned to goop. It doesn't have the teeth to bite through the chrysalis. It doesn't have any skeletal system. It doesn't have the little crawly feet to try to kick through. It is complete goop. And the only thing it has is its mind. And that's why your mind has to stay renewed. The only thing it has is its mind. And so ain't no hope out there if you're going out there to try to eat. It has to be from something that has happened, your relationship with God, your relationship that's happened on the inside, because the stuff outside ain't going to feed you. It ain't, you can't even get out, and it ain't going to help with your transformation. So after that, of course, it begins to build on the inside. And researchers have proven, and it's a YouTube video. I can put the link in the chat. It's a YouTube video to show how they know that they have memory. Caterpillar, once it morphs into the butterfly, it has memory. So it loses everything except its mind. Because it has to, I don't know if it has to look back and who I used to be, but there's something it has to remember that are maintained after metamorphosis, because you don't have to look back and wonder how you go to that over the caterpillar. Everything but my mind is gone. My mind is the sustainer. The mind of Christ is the sustainer of my life. The types of protein that are in that goop are specific, produce specific body parts. Even each, you have two wings, but you have four quadrants, 1, 2, 3, 4 on a butterfly wing. When it's metamorphosing, that goop, as it's forming into solid, each quadrant is a different set of cells that it has morphed into. So when it gets this wingspan and begin, it came from a different cell, a different, what's it called? I had written it down. I can't find it now. But a highly specified cells. There it is. It needs its wings to travel and drink and procreate and lay eggs. The caterpillar has done all this work just to do the life cycle all over again, just so the butterfly can fly from plant, because a caterpillar can't make it from plant to plant like a butterfly. But a butterfly ain't eating like a caterpillar can eat. A butterfly is going from plant to plant, and it can only draw from the same type of plant it originally was born on. You can't go around eating everything from everybody. You can't go around hopping around. So it's moving. It's drawing nectar from different plants. But then when it turns and evolves and its life cycle is over, it goes right back to them same plants to lay them 500 or so eggs. The shape has changed. The way it moves has changed. The taste, what it eats, how it senses has changed, but something on the inside, the original construct, the unique, intelligent property that thing and that we are here to be something, and that something is not that we don't know what it is. It's hard to explain because it's not your brain. The brain, that gray matter, that's a substance about like tofu. It's little. Your brain tells your body what to do, but your mind tells your brain what to do. Where is that? That's that something. I always say you're not the thing you imagine, but you're the one who sees it. I've used the example, if you take the purple elephant inside a white picket fence, everybody sees it, but we all see it different. But you don't become the elephant. You don't become the picket fence. You're the one, you're the being that sees it. And it feels a little weird when you first make that realization. That's who you are. That's the thing that never dies inside the chrysalis, no matter what form we take, whether it be adolescence, whether it be adolescence and puberty, whether it be adulthood, whether it be menopause, all of it. We change within changes. The song, it said rewritten. All of our lives are being rewritten no matter what stage we're in. That's why we can't give up. Because if it's good, this too will pass. If it's not, this too will pass. And so when we think about it, sometimes we only think the infancy, puberty, adulthood, but there are stages within stages. If you think about a book, and as I get ready to close, you think about a book and people will say, you know, you need to turn over a new leaf. You need to turn a page. Some people say I'm starting a new chapter, and those things are good. And I'm sure that when we're at certain stages in life, we feel like that. But I feel like we're in a time, especially as a race of Black people, our the country we live in, because of our enslaved ancestors, because of bastardized version of Christianity that white people put on us that wasn't the original intent that I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ was here to be. We have to understand that we're at a place in life that we've never been in before. And in that, there are a lot of things that other people go through that we can't claim as ours because we didn't do that deed. We can't own some of the things that they've done. And so when we think about how we're transforming, how we're looking, there are stages within stages. And when I mentioned about you have a chapter, you may be turning a page, I think sometimes we are having a whole new book now where this is the sequel. You can change a book. You can go to the next chapter, but it's still the same content. But I think some of us realize that this ain't just another chapter. This isn't just turning the page to another sentence, but baby, this is a whole new book. This is a sequel. I know you've seen in the, you have Creed, the movie 1, 2, and 3. We had Black Panther 1 and 2. You got John Wick, this chapter. Oh, you got The Matrix 1, 2, and 3. Sometimes you got to just go ahead and go into another book that your life has transformed that much. I'm sure that when that caterpillar sheds that first layer, it thinks, hey, this is done. I'm through transforming. When it eats that first little shell, I'm sure it tastes different than the leaf that it starts eating. And they say, well, this is good. I'm going to sit right here. Nah, this is something else. That's when you're in the same book. But when you got the shed, and look, it attaches itself by the butt, but the first thing it sheds is its face. I forgot to tell you that part. The first thing that it peels backwards is the face. You got to lose your identity because your face got to come off. Who you thought you were is not who you are now. So that's why at the beginning of the year, who are you now? Are you looking at life through butterfly lenses, caterpillar lenses, larva lenses? It looks different because remember, the shape changes, it moves different, it eats different, it senses different. How are you sensing now? How does the world look? So in those stages, you have chapters within the stages. But now sometimes we have to change books. And in changing into a new realm of living, allow God to rewrite on the tablets of your heart, to rewrite who you are and who you are becoming. As the song said that I opened up with, it says, I'm available for change. My life rearranged. Do we allow God to really rearrange our lives? Or are we just dusting the furniture? And sometimes we go through life and the anguish comes from we want things to be like they were and they're not. Everybody right now who I can see under the sound of my voice, you at a good age where you know them knees ain't the same, that back ain't the same, menopause, andropause, or whatever, all you know is not the same. But yes, yet sometimes there's a youth that rises up in you. There's something new that develops. It's something in life you got wings about. Your money may be funny. Your change may be strange over here, but then something over here, when it comes to your spiritual development, you got wings. What's the term? Red Bull gives you wings. And so I just want to encourage you to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It can be renewed, but it cannot be destroyed. Even in the chrysalis, everything within you and around you may feel like mush, but you got your mind. If you maintain and keep your mind stayed on and have the mind of Christ. So I want to just encourage you to allow your life to be written. I'm Tracy Mack. Peace.
Thank you for listening in to Peace Place for Me, a place of peace for you. On behalf of Pastor and Chaplain Tracy Mack, we hope you enjoyed today's sharing and the blessed time spent together. We would like to give you a reaping opportunity if you so desire by giving. You can do so by way of Zelle at peaceplace@live.com, PayPal, info@peaceplaceforme.com, Venmo at peaceplaceforme, Cash App, peaceplaceforme, or by mail at Peace Place LLC, P.O. Box 767, Knightdale, North Carolina, 27. 1-800-273-5545. We want to express our gratitude in advance for the generous gifts you have chosen to share for the benefit of our community. We hope to fellowship with you again the next time we come together. As a reminder, we only meet on the 2nd and 4th Sundays at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For access to join our virtual meetings, email us at info@peaceplaceforme.com. That is info@peaceplaceforme.com. Until next time, peace and blessings to you.
You've been listening to Black Women's World Podcast, the BWWP, brought to you in part by Tracy Mack Solutions for Life Institute Coaching and Training Services. No doubt you have enjoyed being in our world, and it doesn't have to stop here. Head on over to blackwomensworld.com. This is my personal invitation to you to stay connected with me on social media and more. I'd love to see you there, and I'm so grateful you came to be with me here. Invite someone else to join you in our queendom next time so they can feel the vibe of our tribe of sisternistas and sisternista lovers too. Remember to be kind, be authentic, be generous, be excellent, be grateful, and while you're at it, go ahead and be extraordinary, because that's just what sisternistas do on purpose through mission with passion and compassion. It's a Black woman's world, baby, and you, my sisternista, are proof. I'm your self-discovery companion, your professional peacemaker, and your host, Tracy Mack. Wherever you are in the world, may you love and be loved by somebody. Peace.